850 The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You're tuned to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host, for the next 2 hours, along with Larry Dial.
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. And John, John Conrad, our producer, screener.
Our ex-producer, screener.
No, he's right there. He's right there. Don't you see him?
Oh, he's the invisible guy.
Yeah. Our number is 860-0850, #850 if you're a 360 communication customer. We pay for the call. Our sponsors today. Do you hear that?
No. What was it?
I don't know. It's like I'm hearing something else.
I watched the X-Files the other night. It could be it. I love it. Oh, wrong program. Trust nobody.
Our sponsors today. Computer Renaissance, with two great area locations. One at Crossroad Shopping Center in Cary, and the other at North Hills Plaza, across from North Hills Mall. And by Mindspring, I'll get organized, don't worry. And by Mindspring, you can catch them at 1-888-MSPRING or on the web at www.mindspring.com.
Very nice. This is a big week.
Is it?
Microsoft. If you own Microsoft stock at the beginning of the week and you own it now, you're happy. Well, they had two things happen.
What?
And then they launched 98. To some success. I don't know. I guess the final verdict isn't in, obviously. But the most important thing for their current situation is that an appeals court threw out the injunction against them, which in essence means that the court ruled that IE, Internet Explorer, and Windows 95, while they may be two products, certainly enhance each other when they're bundled together. Therefore, they're not separate products and can be, and Microsoft can continue to sell them together. So, and promote them together. And they also ruled that the judge in the case who had issued the injunction had operated without due deliberation, I think is the terminology. That is, he hadn't given Microsoft the benefit of the doubt. And so they overruled his decision. It said it was wrong to appoint a special master, all kinds of things. So it was a big week for Microsoft. They had two big wins.
Well,
we were testing something?
Yeah.
The sound of silence.
No, I had to do away with something.
Okay.
Let me tell you what happened to me this week. That I mean, sort of like renews your faith in support over the...
Tech support.
Tech support. I've been struggling trying to find a good program to run an ISP. I mean, the program that runs in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And came across a few of them. One of them called OptiGold ISP. And you know me, I'm not a programmer. I can't figure these things out, especially accounting. I had Ron come over, and he helped me set it up. Ron knows.
Ron used to run the ISP for it, yes.
But in trying to use it, it was just too complicated. So I started looking for another, and I found another one. And actually, I talked to the person and everything. I can't remember the name of it. But it was, if you want to do this, it's another $200. If you want to do this, it's another $500. So I said, let me go back there, and I'll try to ISP Gold again. So I tried and ran across some problem and send an email. Got a response right away. Send another email. I said, gee, guys, can I just prepay you for like an hour and get on the phone with you and somebody just walk me through and answer all the questions that I have? Got another message. Sure, but it's free. So all you have to do is call us. Now, I didn't pay a penny for that program yet. I called them. I don't know if the company is that small that the owner is the tech support and everything. I mean, there's quite a few products that they're selling. But the author of the program answered the phone, Sean.
Not bad.
And I said, look, I don't want to take your time doing this. It's obviously probably little things. I said, there's no little things. Just what do you need? Let me know. He stayed with me on the phone for about an hour and a half. And actually gave me a crash course on the program. And I mean, once somebody like that explains it, wow, this is nice. This is easy. When you look at it and you try to figure it out, oh, this is tech support. I mean, here's a guy, and I mean, he is on the West Coast, so I did try to call as late as possible so he will not be busy. And I told him, I said, look, if you get anything, I mean, just let me know. I understand that you don't have to do this. It was very nice. I mean, I feel so good about that product, about that company. I mean, it's DataPoint, the name of the company.
It's terrific.
Yeah. And that's the way things should happen. I mean, he's doing everything he can in the hope that he's got another customer who will pay him, which is nice.
Now, the program you downloaded?
Yeah.
So it's essentially shareware.
It's not shareware. It's commercial. But you can use it up to 200 users. You can use it for free.
Oh, okay.
They don't want your money. If you're going to go over, yeah, then it costs. And it costs good, but it's worth it. It's really worth it. That's how I feel now.
Well, because you get service.
Absolutely.
I know
this is very important.
That's one of the things that the company that I'm working with, Intersolve, has got a reputation for, and that is 24/7 good technical service.
Yep.
And it makes all the difference in the world. You're a good example because you're knowledgeable, but you needed help, and they walk you through it.
You tune to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 800-850, #850 if you're a 360 communication customer. By the way, later on this morning, we're going to have a guest on the phone from Lexmark. Listening to me? From Lexmark, the makers of all those great printers. We're going to be talking with Michael Gonzalez. He's a senior strategist, worldwide marketing and consumer printer division of Lexmark International.
Oh, good. That's going to be a marketing guy. Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, it's fine. I mean, we can't get into technical stuff in 15 minutes. You know,
you like their the little color printer.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Inexpensive, great quality.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, this is the one that we're going to be talking about is even newer, which I didn't even take out of the box yet. This is how much I like the other one.
So
I need to take it out and
I think you need somebody to test it for.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, watch the phone. Okay, watch the phones go. No, I was waiting for them to call because I want to make sure that everything is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to do it today. I said, fine. No, I didn't try it yet.
Call us.
What else happened? What's happening with Intel?
With Intel?
Yeah.
I hear nothing. I mean, it's been a very slow week.
I hear nothing.
I hear nothing.
AT&T, look, we were amazed and wowed by Nortel buying Bay for $9 billion.
And then what happened this week?
AT&T
bought second biggest cable company,
Telecommunications Inc. Yeah. What, $42 billion or something like that? I don't remember something. I mean, it was a number that would knock you out anyway.
You could live on it for a little while, huh?
Yeah, you know, for a while.
The cable guys came by this week, put in a new cable box. I guess they're getting ready.
How is your eyes, Dan?
I love my eyes, Dan. I keep telling people. Now, it's funny, the guys at work, all they can talk about is ASDL. Or ADSL.
Yeah.
And all I tell them is, I got an ISDN working now. Do you have ADSL working yet? Do you have any idea when you're going to have it?
But we will very soon.
Well,
we will very soon.
I mean, this is what I hear, and we'll see. It's like everything else in the software business or computer telecommunications business. Yeah. When it comes and when it's the technology is tried and true, then, I mean, even I didn't go out and buy 98 this week. I probably won't either. Well, even though I, you know, you know I like to be on the bleeding edge, but I'm sort of like a walking wounded right now. I need things to settle down.
Do you have that piece of paper that Paula sent out with the tech support?
No, ones? No.
I loved, I mean, there were a few there.
The tech support and issues, yes.
Was that, ma'am, are you running under Windows?
Yeah.
My machine doesn't work. Ma'am, are you running under Windows? And she said, no, but you know, it's a good point, because the guy in the next cubicle does have a window and he's under there, right. And it's working perfectly for him. Yeah.
Yes, tech support hell.
Don't be looking at me like that.
No, that's because John has called in and asked questions like that to tech support. Right? does my mouse work? My mouse doesn't work. No, John, I don't mean to malign you. You're a savvy computer.
Look at him. He's just sitting there.
I know.
John, you okay?
I'm just waiting for you to make a point.
Okay, all right.
There are no points. This show is pointless.
Hey, I'm not going to give you no points.
Yes. Pointless
not yet,
show.
Not yet. 860-0850, pound 850 if you're in your car and a 360 communication customer. As far as computers go, hardware, I've seen quite a few breakdowns this week. I don't know why. I mean, suddenly, out of nowhere, a bunch of CPU fans just go out. Two of them right here.
Well, it could be the heat, even though it's...
Well, no, I don't think so, no. One of our mutual...
Friends?
Friends, customers.
Brought his
EPM.
Oh.
Had a machine that looked like it was, according to Pete, got hit by lightning. Last week, I don't know where we had lightning, but I mean, hit by a surge. The power supply went, motherboard went, and video card went. Bam, I mean, don't work. So, in one machine.
Is that right?
Well,
they have poor electrical.
Well, I mean, yeah. But still, it's weird that everything is happening one after another. I don't know how many of you are running under 3.1, but. I mean, I do. Hush up, Larry. I do, but and I had one of my customers brought it into the shop, to the store, and somehow his 32-bit disk access got activated, and his programs wouldn't run, and he didn't know what was wrong. I didn't know what was wrong either. I didn't know it was because of that, but I went looking, and I just, you know, took it out. Sure enough, everything worked. So if you have a problem with 3.1, try that. I wouldn't know why it would do it, but it did it.
Weird thing.
Weird thing.
And a mutual friend of ours, you know, we have his computer in the hospital.
Right.
Rob. Of course, Robbie has a problem that several people do that we can't talk him out of. The AOL problem.
Well, yeah.
We love him, but God, stay away from him.
All right, your calls are coming up next, right here on 850 The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer and in your car, we pay for the call. Few things, news things that happen, which are interesting. TI is selling its... DRAM manufacturing to Micron.
It's what manufacturing?
The DRAM, the memory.
Oh, the DRAM.
DRAM.
To Micron?
To Micron.
And they manufacture machines.
It's only $830 million. I mean, now we're talking about small potatoes, right? Disney made a deal with InfoSeek as far as certain...
Yeah, I did see that.
$900 million deal. With search engine company InfoSeek will allow the Walt Disney Company to construct an internet gateway or portal site that customers can select to be their entry point for exploring the World Wide Web.
Speaking of, I did think of something. Speaking of search engines, you've got a new search engine on your DeltaForce.net, the Meta Search
engines.
And Paul Gilster last week, for those of you who haven't picked up on it yet, Paul's column now appears on Sunday. It took me about 3 weeks to figure that out. Couldn't figure it. It used to be on Tuesday. And last Sunday he had a great article on these meta search engines and the whole idea of search technology on the web, because I know there are a lot of people and I'm one of them, who you have to learn how to use these search engines, and they're still not very good.
So you like that page I made?
Yes, I do.
Well, I didn't. I can't take credit.
I like that page very much.
Somebody sent it to me. Said, here's something you can use, and it was really, I mean, it's got all the instructions.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's at www.deltaforce.net, and then you go to search,
right.
And you'll find the new search engine called...
there's a few of them. I mean, there's all the few. He put all the search engines in there.
And then the meta search
page. There are meta search. And what it does, actually, it goes and it searches more than one...
Search engine.
Search engine at a time. So you put in there...
Right.
Larry, and it goes and searches over many search engines.
So
yeah, it's nice. We were talking before the show, you know, we're running in Unix and this, and we're also running Apache.
You are?
Yeah, the server. And guess what IBM just chose is theirs.
Apache. And it's free.
It's free. Oh, yeah, well, now that they're in it, you know, they may do, they may make some... enhancements and things to it that they will sell their version of it. You know, it's possible.
Yeah.
But it says IBM is becoming part of a team developing Apache web server software developed and distributed without charge by a worldwide coalition of programmers. Although Apache controls the majority of this market in competition, Microsoft Free Internet Information Server Software and Netscape $1,300 Enterprise Server Software, gag me, it has until now not been adopted by large corporations that usually demand fully supported commercial product when they choose software. And it's true. There is support there, but you have to know how to find it. It's, as far as I'm concerned, there is more support there for Apache than there is for any of the other ones because so many people are using it. And when you jump and you go into a news group,
all the answers are there.
I mean, and you ask... You get bombarded with answers by people who know what they're talking about. I think the reason why more corporations did not adopt it is because it was running under Unix only.
Well,
many of them don't use Unix.
Yeah, there's I told you this morning a good article. I found some very good tech articles on Salon Magazine's site. It's www.salonmagazine.com. And it's a all-purpose commentary on many aspects of modern life. The technology section, and they change the content every day, 5 days a week. So
it's probably pretty new.
Yes, probably pretty new. Yesterday's lead article, was on Linux.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had articles on the browser wars. They constantly have articles on current issues in software and technology. And the Linux article is quite good because it talks about the growing interest in Linux among the computer community and not just among the geeks. Linux is a flavor of Unix that is now it's sold commercially. The kernel is always free, and it was invented by a young, in fact, he's very young. He was in town a few weeks ago, Linus Torvald. And, I mean, again, this whole article is about the challenge of Linux to Microsoft because it's the operating system that Microsoft really has a stranglehold on throughout the world, and does Linux have a chance to become a big player? And it's really interesting because... Like you were saying, there are an awful lot of servers running on Linux/Unix and Apache.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem that big companies have with it is support. I mean, IT managers in big companies are by nature very conservative because their hind ends are on the line all the time
for
keeping this stuff up and running.
And the thing that you I don't think you realize, because we are users of GUI,
mm-hmm.
you don't have it there.
Right.
I mean, there are many companies where the IT manager is somebody who knows how to click on a window icon.
Right.
You can't put them on a Unix operator. I mean, with Unix, you really... I mean, that's a good IT manager and a good system administrator will know Unix.
Well, of a certain type. You're right. I mean,
there
are IT managers that are quite good, but you're absolutely right. They all came out of text-based...
Right.
Operating systems, the old DOS text strings. The problem with that is that that's not the way the world is. And
right.
In the end user.
Yeah.
But according to this article, and I really do recommend people take a look at it. It's just, this is a fun site to go to anyway, but this article talks about how there are some big players in the application business who are looking at Linux to develop applications for. Because, I mean, as you and I have joked a while, you know, many times about, it's all right to have a Unix box in the back run in the office.
Right.
But put it on a receptionist desk?
Yeah. No, I don't think it'll ever happen.
I mean, most people don't care about text. They want the GUI, and they want to be able to click and go.
The other thing that makes Unix better, and this is why you see a lot of the ISPs using Unix and not Windows, is that it is, the applications for it are normally free.
Right.
While for Windows, they cost a lot of money. And when you buy it, the stuff for Windows, you are locked into that program. You don't get source code.
Right.
To change. Here, you can, I mean, I've watched Ron do all kind of things, and Tricia, change things around that make the whole thing work in a different way, that exactly the way you want it. It's because they have control right. of source code. And this is what makes it more appealing and more practical, as far as I'm concerned, for ISPs and people that are running, you know, an office.
Yeah, it's real tough out there because, yeah. As you know, and I work in a corporate environment where people are worried about standards, and it's maddening because you want to be able to do things, you know, to develop applications that a lot of people can use. And the big commercial software, unless you're all with one house, it's hard to make that happen. I'm just telling you today about a problem between Microsoft application software and Novell network software. They don't like each other. Surprise, surprise. Oh.
Your turn to computer is 98 on 850 The Buzz, and our number is 860-0850, #850 if you're a 360 communication customer.
And the other thing about Linux is we've got one of the major players in the Linux distribution business in the Raleigh-Durham area. We'll see if we can get the Red Hat guys up here.
Sure,
yeah, I mean, Red Hat is one of the distributors of Linux under the flavor of Red Hat Linux, and right. they were in the newspaper just last
They've
week
been
or so.
The newspaper, and most everybody that chooses Linux uses Red Hat.
Yeah, and you can buy them locally. You can buy the shrink wrap product. And for those of you who, Linux is free software. What they are selling is the source code, which you are free to change, and all the accessories. They have tools along there.
No manual?
And there's a manual.
Well, that's what
you're
saying.
And, I mean, it's still very cheap. It's
oh, yeah.
$40 for three CDs full of stuff.
That's what's amazing. Same thing is with FreeBSD, which I'm running.
Yeah.
You get four CDs. I mean, every quarter they will send you the new release if you want. Four CDs, and it's $29.
Yeah.
Everything is on it with all kind of, that's how the now, and the support behind it is there.
Right.
Believe me, it's there.
Well, it's there for us because we deal with this stuff. I mean, again, there's so many different levels of software out there.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there are a lot of people, the majority of people don't know what a use group is and don't know how to get to one.
Yeah, maybe we need to
do some work
do something,
on that.
Yeah.
Because news groups and use groups are very important sources of information.
Absolutely.
And
when you hear I research it over the internet, you don't go on the web researching. Most people go to the news groups.
Right.
And that's when they do their research. All the binaries and
yeah. All stuff what?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it. By the way, next week. Is it next week?
This is July 4th week.
That's right. The week after. Here, there's an article here, again, in EduPage that will lead to that. A report released earlier this week by the Software Publishers Association and the Business Software Alliance shows the industry lost $11.4 billion. I guess I need to put the four, because billion.
I'll take it if you don't want it.
To pirates who produce illegal copies of software. SBA now acknowledged that its strategy of settling infractions with a fine and a confidentiality agreement has not been very successful and vows to begin pressing charges and publicizing the names of defenders. I don't like doing that, but it serves as an education to companies in a similar education, says the SPA Director of Anti-Piracy Efforts. If they want to keep ripping off our members, why should we treat them nicely? Some areas have shown improvements. Europe, which had the piracy rates of 90% 5 years ago, is now down to 50%. Still, that's almost twice as high as the U.S., which is 27%. And,
yes,
the week after next, we're going to have Bob Kruger. I think it's Bob Kruger, who is the president of the software business, the Business Software Alliance. And he's going to tell us about that company that was, for lack of a better word, busted around here in our area. That
has for using
pirated software in their operation. And they had to settle for something like $200,000 or whatever. But this is where they're going. I mean, they're going to go right out. Of course.
I mean, that's where companies, so many companies make their living. I mean, we do at Intersol. That's intellectual property is the only thing you have.
As far as I'm concerned, if somebody pirates a copy of AutoCAD, always comes to mind because everybody plays with it. You will not go to buy a copy of AutoCAD to play with.
Oh, it's expensive.
What would you do with it? So, but this always comes to mind, and I talked to Autodesk about it back then. I mean, this is, we're talking 10 years ago. I had a pirated copy of Autodesk. I can't remember what it was, AutoCAD. And, you know, you play with it, and there was the injector in there, and you do this and that. But a friend of mine saw it, who was an engineer, and he went to his boss and told him about it, and his boss wanted to see it, so I took it and I stole it there. They bought two copies.
Ooh.
You know, and people are not going to go and buy the expensive software. I believe if you make money or you're using a piece of software for productivity, you should pay for it. You're just going to play with it. Heck, I mean, do you think that Microsoft doesn't know that people are pirating their operating system, whatever, all over? But this is a person who will not buy it. He gets it, he installs it. Now he needs it because he needs to update, and he needs to get a copy of it. This is what's nice now. Well, with the CD writers, it's going back the other way.
I think they come.
You have to buy it, but you get sprayed all over. But don't pirate. You know what else we found out? And Pete actually called Microsoft and realized that it's true. There is no OEM version of Microsoft Office Pro. A lot of them have been sold.
OEM version?
OEM version. You know, not in the blue box. Just the CD, you know, that people sold with. Office Pro was never produced for OEM. Very interesting. And on that note, your calls are coming up next. Right here on 850...
The Buzz.
Welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Numbers again, 860-0850, #850 if you're a 360 communication customer. And we have a caller. Good morning, you're on 850 The Buzz.
Hi, Anon. My name's John. I called several months ago and asked if you knew how to make a CD-ROM bootable.
A CD-ROM bootable?
Yeah. I don't know if you ever found out or not.
What do you mean to make? I don't remember that. To make, to write a CD or to?
Yeah, to one of the writable CD-ROM.
To actually make it bootable? No, I haven't found that. No.
Okay.
That's right. We were talking about that. You can't format it /S if you're trying to. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Maybe somebody out there who's using writable CD-ROMs can tell us, because I know that there is in the BIOS.
Right.
You can set it up to boot from CD-ROM. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? That's interesting. How do you take a CD and put system on it? No, did not find. Guilty.
Okay. Well, I just thought I'd ask if you found anything by now. I'm having trouble doing a complete backup of the operating system and everything.
Uh-huh.
Are there any good programs to do that?
To
what operating system?
95. See, that's 32.
What do you mean program?
So I just downloaded another one last night. I thought it'd be pretty good, and I just tried to install it. This it is like, only for FAT 16, so I couldn't
like
use it.
What program?
Oh, I forget. No,
I'm not familiar with any.
I know, Lara. I mean, Norton makes a bunch of them, but for third-party utilities. I thought that, doesn't the MS, again, it's been a while since I've even used 95, but right. Don't you have a backup program that comes in accessories with system tools?
That's like, yeah, that's like a DOS program.
Okay.
It's like the DOS backup.
But it'll back up system.
Any tape backup that you get will have it in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that you can get a utility just by itself. I know that all the Seagate, which used to be,
Hewlett Packard,
which was
Cheyenne.
All those come with the backup exec, which does backup all the files, the system, the hidden, the registry, everything. But I don't know about anything else. That's just to get it. No.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling 850 The Buzz. Good morning, Jerry. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Listen, I've been running Windows 95 for several years, and sometimes the sound works and sometimes it doesn't, and I don't know what I've been doing to make it work or not work.
You're probably plugging in and unplugging it.
Do you?
No.
It's been this kind of morning. When you boot, do you get the little icon down in your system tray?
The speaker, the yellow speaker.
Yes, I get that.
Which means you have sound.
That's right.
So you can't get it to play, though.
Well, only on certain applications.
Well, wait a second. Not every application will play sound.
Okay, I've got a game called Imperium Galactica.
Is it a Windows 95 game? Or is it a game that you boot and go into?
It's really supposed to be
a DOS program.
Yeah,
most of the games are like that.
Yeah.
It will not play then. You have to set it up separately. It's two different things. Even though you may be running it from an icon in 95, it's really a DOS application. And you have to go into the program and set up its sound parameters.
Yeah, I know. When I install it,
yeah.
It gives me a screen that says auto detect sound.
Right.
Which sometimes, if I install it, it works, and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes it says, I don't have any sound equipment.
There may be something wrong with your sound card, or I mean, when you install it, do you go to DOS, do you boot from DOS, and then you install it, or you go through Windows?
The DOS window.
No, you shouldn't do that.
Well, but it won't do it the other way, because apparently I need a mouse driver or something.
That's easy to get, the mouse driver.
Okay.
For a Microsoft mouse, it's nothing to get. What kind of mouse do you have?
What kind of mouse do I have?
I mean, it's just two-button mouse? I mean, nothing fancy?
No, it's three-button, but it's nothing fancy.
Okay, there are drivers all over the place. If you give me a call later on, I can probably email you one.
Really? Well, I don't have email.
Oh.
Anyway, I could probably get one somewhere.
Yeah, they're all over the place. I mean, there's some on bulletin boards, and probably if you just you don't have email, you don't have the internet, you can probably get it from the internet. So yeah, and that's what you need to do, and that's probably why it doesn't work, because you're going through Windows and no telling what is being set in Windows before you actually doing it.
Let me ask you this too. I've got a zip drive,
uh-huh.
And my disks, when I click on properties, it says that I have a huge amount of free space. I can't put anything on the disk because it says that I don't have room or something is write protected, which is not.
Are you trying to put stuff on your tools disk? On the one that came with it, because that's the one that says that it's protected. There is a lot of room on it, but you cannot erase it and you cannot protect it. I can't remember. There's a certain way. Is this the one that came with the zip?
I don't remember if this is. I've got several disks.
Yeah, that must be the one. It probably says tools on it. Don't try to copy anything on it. You need to keep that clear.
Well,
but it happens to more than one?
Yeah, I think so. I'd have to actually check it now.
I'll have to actually sit in front of it and see what it does. I mean, yeah, you can write protect the disk.
A zip disk.
Absolutely.
How do you unwrite protect?
I can't remember. You have to go in.
I think a whole set of tools that'll do it.
No, you do it from 95 from the property is what I can't remember. I really can't remember.
Okay.
It's not something that I do. But I remember trying to unprotect the tools disk, and we finally figured out how to do it. It wasn't easy, and I'm glad it's not because people would lose their program. All right.
Well, thank you.
We need to go away.
All right.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz.
Thank you.
And your calls are coming up next right here on 850 The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, pound 850 if you're a 360 communication customer and sitting in your car, driving, we pay for the call, just punch it. Pound 850. We were talking
about...
What was his problem? Oh, come on, Larry.
Backups. Is it backups?
Oh, yeah, the backup. To backup system and registry and everything, because
right.
A lot of... I don't know if any diskette-based backup utility or the backup DOS backup, what is actually in 95, that will do... Not 95, 901. It's on a zip utilities as a backup. But that's just a DOS backup.
Well...
Will not get your registry files. Or any of the hidden ones.
Mm-hmm.
And there are hundreds of hidden ones, too. This is something that we... I mean, I struggled a lot with in the beginning when 95 came out as far as a backup utility that will do it. We know one backup utility that will do that.
SafetyNet. Yeah, backup over the web.
Yep.
Still the best idea.
That's the best way to do it. For some reason, mine doesn't work over the web, over the Internet. It stopped working last week, and in working with the people, we went back to the telephone, and it worked fine. So there's something over there, but they're working on it, and other people that I know are using it, and it's working. So we're trying to find out why it's not working for me.
Yeah, but I owe Howard a call.
It's the best backup. I mean, I was getting antsy when it stopped working. So SafetyNet. 831-2710, I think. This is the best way to back up your computer. 831-2710. That number is stuck in my head. Okay.
Yes.
We had the guest already called and told him to call in about 10 minutes. I guess that's what our friend over there, what's his name?
Yes, John is our friend, and he is staring at you. I have a question for you.
Now I need to think on John.
What do you know about IRC and applications? Because I have a friend who is interested, actually a relevant.
I'm running an IRC server.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right,
it's nice because it's done for SOCAP, which is Society of Consumer Affair Professionals, and they have their chapters all over the country, or all over the world. Get together and talk once a month.
And we had enough time to talk about it, because I really want you to explain it to me and to the people, because there's a lot of it going on, and somebody asked me about it, and I wasn't real sure.
You go and you download a utility, and the one that I'm familiar with is MIRC.
Right.
Mark.
Right. And that puts you onto a chat line.
There are servers in there. Of course, you can't get into my server because you have to have a password, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of public servers out there.
Okay.
It'll come up, and you tell your friend, hey, look, let's go to that such and such server. There's a list of, a bunch of servers. And you start talking to each other.
Okay. That's all there is to it.
It's real simple.
So you need the same application.
Yep.
The same type of application. You need a...
If it's an IRC utility, IRC is a standard. It's Internet Relay Chat.
Right.
That's a standard.
Okay.
Any kind of utility that is IRC... will work with each other.
Is Microsoft NetShow an IRC client?
Not that I know of. I think over there it's different.
Okay. Just wondering.
But it works really nice. You can have private channel that you can use. You decide on a certain password, and you go in like that. It works great.
Okay.
What do they want to know?
But we just wanted to know how to set it all up and if there was anything special. I mean, I have MIRC at home, and this happens to be a relative in Florida who would like to
sit
and talk with
Paula. Videophone. You know, I haven't heard from our friends at Intel in some time.
Well, that's all we need. Tell them we have the opportunity to test it.
Absolutely.
Interstate testing.
All right, and your calls are coming up next, right here on 850
The Buzz.